We begin with the narcissistic defenses. Narcissistic defenses, well, the word narcissism has to do with a sense of self. And what's missing here in the narcissistic defenses is just that. The sense of self is very flimsy. The boundary between self and other is very fluid, so things pass back and forth relatively quickly. Now, the word narcissistic, I don't want you to confuse that with narcissistic personality disorder. There is no one-to-one correspondence between defenses and particular psychopathic disorders. There is some overlap. When we have the overlap, I will point it out, but it's not simply that narcissistic personality disorder applies here. It's something different. It's a different metric. Under the narcissistic defenses, you can perhaps understand the concept best by focusing on the first in the set, that is projection. In projection, I have some thought, feeling, idea that's mine, but I don't perceive it as mine. I perceive it as, boom, out there in the world. I perceive it as a part of the ambient world or as a part of a particular person or situation in the world. What's in me, I see is out there. What we mean in projection is the same thing that's happening when you go to a movie. When you go to a movie, you see the action right up on the screen in front of you, but in fact, the action is really back in the projection booth. That's where the movie is. But you don't perceive the activity there. You perceive it when it's projected onto the screen in front of you. That's projection. Some examples. A man is furious at his wife. He is absolutely livid. And he comes home from work, and she greets him at the door, and he says, "Whoa, honey, you're mad at me, aren't you?" She says, "No, I don't think I'm mad at you." And he says, "Well, you sure look mad." This is projection. He's angry, but he perceives her as the one who's angry. Children are wonderful examples of defense mechanisms because their defenses are right on the surface, easy to see. A little girl, age 4, is saying goodbye to a father who's about to leave on a 2-week business trip. She's going to miss him terribly. But she can't bring herself to say that. Instead, she greets him at the door with her little rag doll, Susie. Now, Susie is nothing more than cloth and a little bit of plastic, but she holds the doll up and says to her father, "Susie's gonna miss you, Daddy." Susie, of course, has no real feelings of her own. She sees her feelings in Susie. That's projection. It's easier for her to see the loss there than to feel the loss here inside. You're at a party. It's a swingin' happenin' affair, good music, good band, everybody's rocking, and you say to your friend, "Hey, see that woman over there? She's hot for me, she wants me." It's projection. You're attracted to her, and you've transformed that into she's attracted to you. Your feelings are out there. I have a wedding anniversary coming up. I've been trying to decide what to get my wife for the wedding anniversary. I've decided what she'd really like is a power sander. Projection, seeing my wishes or desires in her. That's projection. I want you to associate projection with paranoid behavior. Whenever you're working with paranoid patients, listen carefully to everything they say. When they say, "You can't trust people around here," you know what I hear? They're saying to me, "You can't trust me," because everything they say about people out there is really what's true about them in here. It's projection. Denial is next up. Denial's as simple as they get, as bold-faced as they get. Taking some clear, observable piece of external reality and saying, "It's not true." Taking this thing we can all look at, we can all see, and saying, "It's simply not the case." That's denial. In denial, you bar the door and the content never penetrates. It might knock, but it doesn't get in. Denial. Denial is a common reaction when you have hard emotional news. News about your death, the death of a loved one, or some horrible life event. Denial. Denial is people's first reaction when they're confronted with substance abuse problem. The man is staggeringly drunk. He can hardly stand up. You say, "You're drunk." "No, I'm fine." That's denial. You're saying something that's clearly there is simply not true. The grades for your pathology exam have just been posted. And with great enthusiasm, you go up, look at the sheet, and find your ID number, look at your grade. And then 2 minutes later, you're back looking again. Why are you back looking again 2 minutes later? It's denial. You didn't take in the reality in the first place. Splitting. Splitting is turning the world into simple polar opposites. You no longer have to deal with that uncertain middle ground. There is no middle ground anymore. Everything is to one extreme or the other. Extreme evaluations are usually the result of splitting, because the real world is really somewhere in the middle. In splitting, people are all good or all bad. Situations are all great or all terrible. There is no mitigating circumstance whatsoever. Think about the old Westerns. You tune into the old Western late at night, and you know who to root for, even though you're in the middle of the movie. You know the good guys, the guy that dressed in the white hat with the white chaps and the white horse and the silver bullet, right? And you know the bad guys, the guy in the black hat and the black mustache and the black chaps and the black teeth. And you know the good guy is all good. When he walks past the poor little doggy on the street who's starving, he gives it his last morsel of food. And you know the bad guy is all bad. When he walks past the poor little doggy in the street, he kicks it. That's all bad. Splitting. Either the God or the devil. There is no middle ground here. Borderline personality disorders use splitting definitionally. If you're not splitting, you're not a borderline. Borderlines, you start therapy with a borderline, and they say, oh, you're the best therapist I've ever had. Can I have more sessions with you? Can I pay you more money? Where's your car? I'll wax it for you. You're wonderful. But don't get sucked in, because it's only a matter of time until you do something they can't approve of. And now you can't be all wonderful anymore. And if you can't be all wonderful anymore, what's left? Well, now you're all awful. Ugh, you're the worst therapist I've ever seen in my life. I never want to see you again. Give me all my money back. Where's your car? I'll set fire to it. And this transition from one extreme to the other can be almost instantaneous. That's borderline personality disorder. Now, splitting is not just something that happens with people that have pathology. All of us use splitting all the time. For example, anyone ever been in love? Been in love? What is being in love, says Freud, except splitting? Come on. Ladies, what do you say about the guy when you're in love? Oh, I love everything about him. He's so wonderful. He takes me to the nicest restaurants. And the way he burps and picks his teeth after eating, it's so cute. This is splitting. Everything he does is wonderful. And why are lovers' quarrels so intense? Because once he can't be Mr. Wonderful anymore, bang, he's Mr. Dirt. There's no middle ground here. This is splitting, one side or the other. Projection, denial, and splitting taking together, these are the more primitive defenses, which we call the narcissistic defenses. Here we have a relatively weak ego, and so the distortion of reality is considerable.